Okay, let's read. Then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and become a tree, and the birds make nest in it branches."
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, guys, for everything that you've shared, and you'll find that the message today will connect to this. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that grows into a big tree. I think that our understanding of the gospel is actually far too individualistic and far too narrow. Through various developments in theology and sociology and culture and everything, we've come to understand the message of the gospel primarily as a message about personal salvation, something like grace plus faith is going to heaven when you die. But the gospel is so much more than that. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom of God, is about transformation, transformed lives, transformed families, transformed communities, neighborhoods, cities, generations. It's time for us to get a bigger vision and a broader understanding of what the gospel is, the message that we are called to live, the message that we are called to preach as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And so I want to take you to a short passage in one of the gospels, in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus goes to Nazareth, his hometown, goes to synagogue, picks up the scroll, scrolls down all the way in the scroll of Isaiah to this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus here is reading out his personal mission statement, what he had come to do as the Messiah. Included in his mission, definitely, is personal salvation, but it's also about healing, it's about restoration, and it's about justice. The gospel of God's kingdom is a gospel of transformation. And today we're going to talk about how you and I, how we can partner with God to see that sort of gospel transformation happen in this world. I'm going to lay out some principles for gospel transformation. Now, what I want you to understand is that I'm not an expert on this, and I haven't done a ton of research on this, but I do read books, and I love the books from people with a vision for renewal and transformation, and again, a move of God in our time and in our culture and in our country. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lay out some of the things, like a tutti frutti of things that I'm learning as I'm reading, as I'm listening, as I'm praying for what I think that would look like and how you and I can partner with God to see some of that gospel transformation happen. And what I'm going to lay out is going to apply to a very small context, like your family or group of friends or something like that, and it can apply to a city, a region, like a far bigger context. And what I'm going to talk about is how that gospel transformation starts, what it requires, and how it continues. And so again, they will apply to bigger and smaller settings. But however big or small that setting is that you're thinking about as you're listening, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to partner with you. Yes, you, also you. If you're thinking, yes, everybody else but me, no, also you. He wants to partner with you to see kingdom transformation come in the world around you. And my prayer for today is that this message will inspire you to lean into that, to pray into that. All right, so how does this transformation start? Well, it starts small. It starts really small. It starts as small as a mustard seed, but it can grow into a big tree. And just in these two lines, the picture that Jesus gives is a mustard seed. Some mustard seeds are even too small for birds to eat because they can't digest them. But overall, seeds like that are food for birds. And so it starts unimpressive. It starts, you know, not even noteworthy. It's just and it's gone for a bird. But that same seed, when it's planted in the ground, when it gets watered and sunshine and everything, and it can grow to be a tree where those same birds that would normally eat the seeds can build their nests. It takes one person sometimes, or one decision, one bold step, one prayer that can set something in motion of kingdom transformation. One person's conversion can lead to a whole family being saved. One friendly gesture to a stranger can open up the door for a gospel opportunity. One prayer can move a nation to stand up against injustice. We serve a God that said, don't despise the days of small beginnings. It's usually in hindsight that it becomes clear what that one moment or that one prayer was or who that one person was. But it's always a result of people radically responding to the invitation of the Holy Spirit. Right, secondly, it starts with a crisis. Often a transformation, a time of renewal starts with a crisis. If you're at all familiar with the work of Mark Sayers, you may have heard this before. I love his work. He wrote a couple of books, Disappearing Church, Reappearing Church. Most recent one is A Non-Anxious Presence, and I follow his Rebuilders podcast. I'm just mentioning these to kind of recommend them to you. But he would often say this, crisis precedes renewal. Like crisis often gives birth to a renewal, longing for renewal. Before a movement of renewal would start, usually there's a moment of crisis that creates the need for that renewal, the longing for that renewal, whether in a small context or in a bigger context, a larger culture. God will often bring people or communities and nations to a moment of crisis in order to birth something new, whether it's a crisis of health or of conflict or finances, or a crisis of meaning, like I think the Western world is in, or all of these combined. And often people will need to first come to a realization that something needs to happen, that we cannot do it ourselves, that we've made a mess of it, and we cannot live apart from God. That moment of crisis then leads to a return to him and to his ways. And in this book and much of Mark's work, he describes how our cultural context is heading this way. There are more and more crises. A crisis of meaning is definitely one of them. He says, I believe that's going to lead to a renewal, and that's what we need to get ready for, a time of renewal when God will revisit Western Europe or the Netherlands or other countries that live in a post-Christian world with a post-Christian mindset. And the Lord is calling people back to himself, creating remnants of radical Jesus followers that can become pockets of renewal in a world ready to be transformed. And so instead of looking at a crisis as a threat, I want to invite you to maybe look at a crisis that you see with kingdom eyes, seeing the potential for renewal. Thirdly, it starts with radicality. Not even sure if that's a full-on English word, correct grammar. But radicality is something radical, a radical decision, a radical moment. See, like you can look at a crisis like a worldwide crisis or a small crisis in your family or among your group of friends or just with the people around you. This can become something very personal because our response to that is supposed to be one with radical faith, with radical prayer, with a radical life dedicated to God. He is calling us to be agents of renewal. And so I want to ask, are you are you available to be a sent one, an ambassador of the kingdom of God? Are you ready to be used by God to see the beginning of a process of transformation in the world around you? Because as we talk about transformation, there's that word formation in there, and that's something that we need to be concerned with. Formation. How are we being formed? Are we being formed into the image of Christ, or are we being deformed into the image of this world? Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So if you want to be an agent of the kingdom, you've got to be very careful and intentional with how you're being formed. What is forming you? Are you being conformed? Are you being deformed? Or are you being transformed into the image of Christ? And this time is asking for a move of counterformation, where we are intentional about what is coming in and what is going out. See, that's what Paul is saying, like that transformation happens through the renewal of your mind. So you've got to be careful, you've got to be intentional about what you put in, because what you put in will always come out. The process that Paul is describing to the church in Rome here is that renewal of your mind, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time, and it takes intentionality, and it takes radicality. It doesn't happen unless we make some radical decisions about what is allowed in, so that we can make sure that what is going out is actually holds that power of kingdom transformation. The process of kingdom transformation, however big or small the setting is, begins with people radically committing their lives to the King and then not looking back. Right, so it starts small, it starts with a crisis, starts with radicality. What is kingdom transformation, that process, what does it require? Moving on. Well, first of all, it requires some consistency. If you look at the book of Acts and a number of occasions, there's a city that is just deeply impacted through the ministry of Paul. The first one is Antioch. Actually, Paul kind of comes in later, but Antioch becomes a sort of missions hub for the early church. Another example is Corinth. Another one is Ephesus. And these are churches, these last two, there are churches there that were planted by Paul that he revisited, that he kept a connection with. And when he visited them, he wouldn't just visit for a week or a month. He would be there for a couple of years. And he would have ongoing relationships with the church after. So that's something that stands out. There's a consistency in his mission, in his strategy that he built in there. And those are the cities that would have a lasting impact on the early church, where other missionaries would be sent out from to bring the gospel all over. The process of transformation takes time, and therefore it requires that consistency. And I think we've just heard such a beautiful example this morning of what you can build up in terms of transformation through consistency of serving in a certain area over a couple of decades, kind of holding on, keeping going, and building a consistent testimony. Transformation of a life, of a family, a city, however big or small the context again, it's never a short-term goal. It's always a long-term process. And requires people that stick around and provide consistent and a faithful testimony in word and in deed of the kingdom of God. It also requires prayer. It requires prayer. There's no kingdom work that will succeed without a firm commitment to prayer. And I must admit, I find prayer difficult. Why? I'm not a great builder, ask my wife. I'm not a good, but when you build something, at least you can see what you're doing, right? You're putting some things together, and then you're building something. You can see the result of your work. And even with work like this at a church, I know what's happening. I can see what is happening. I know the effort that I put in, and so many others are putting in, by the way, you see what it results in. Prayer, like you're praying something, you can't kind of test, you can't measure the result, you can't measure the impact. It's an invisible work. You're building something invisible. But prayer is so important. Like without prayer, like what are we even doing? And through prayer, we also make sure that our heart is right. That our heart is right in it. That we do not begin to think even that it's all up to us. It is all up to God. I want to pray prayers. You know, not like, Lord, bless the work that I'm doing. I want to pray prayers like, help me to see how I can bless the work that you are doing. Are you praying prayers that without God's intervention will never come to pass? Or are you praying prayers that, you know, whether God responds or not, doesn't even matter. You won't even be able to tell what the outcome is. You need to pray bold prayers. If our prayers are vague, general, just means that we kind of ask God to bless what we're already doing. We need to pray prayers asking God, how can we bless what you are doing? Help us to see what you are doing and how we can be a part of that, how you are inviting us to partner with what you're already doing. Right, thirdly, it requires sacrifice. That mustard seed grows into a big tree, but that seed first has to be planted in the ground so it can die and bear fruit. In John 12, Jesus uses a similar metaphor with a different sort of seed, a kernel of wheat. And he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Any kingdom transformation, it doesn't matter how big or small it is, will require sacrifice of blood, sweat, and tears. It will cost you something. It will always cost you something. If you want to accomplish anything in life, just in general, just think unchristian for a moment. If you want to accomplish anything in life, in business, in sports, in a hobby, we all know that in order to say yes to something, we have to say no to some other things, right? If you want to become a exceptionally good in sports, you know that there's a pattern, and that means saying no to a whole lot of things. If you want to do something with a career, build something great, that means saying no to a bunch of things. If you want to be really great at a certain hobby, I don't know, photography or art, or if you want to be well read, that will mean saying yes to that thing, that will mean saying no to a bunch of other things. Why do you think it will be any different when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to knowing Jesus through and through, like knowing Jesus personally or doing anything great in the kingdom of God? Why do we think it will just come when it comes, and if it doesn't come, it doesn't come, but at least I was available? No, it means leaning in. It means saying yes to that, and that will mean saying no to a bunch of other things. And I'm praying that will be a people that is fully, wholly, completely committed to the cause of Christ and gladly counts anything garbage that is in the way of God's kingdom being built in this city and in our lives. Take sacrifice. All right, how does it continue? These are going to be short. We're going to get close to rounding off. It continues with partnerships. Any kingdom transformation will continue with partnerships. In the Lausanne Covenant, it's a document written in 1974 after the first International Congress on World Evangelism, the very well-known theologian John Stott, he wrote this: it requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Love that line. It requires the whole church take the whole gospel to the whole world. And this has actually become a catchphrase for city movements around the world where churches group together to say, how can we be a blessing to the city? How can we see kingdom transformation in this city? And they say it takes a whole church, every church, and all the different denominations and all the different ways of doing church and languages that they speak and just the overall feel and just the overall the different types of community. It takes a whole church, it takes the whole body of Christ to see the whole gospel come to the whole city. So that's larger context, smaller context. What does it mean? Any, if you have a vision from God, accomplishing that will not only take a long time, it will be bigger than what you can see now. It will also take partnerships, kind of have to work together with others. Secondly, it continues with patience. If we are working for, praying for, hoping for anything beautiful, anything significant in God's kingdom, we have to be patient and trust God's timing. We can never see the full picture, but He can. And we have to be able to run when we need to, but also stop and slow down and trust and be patient when we need to. If you've received the kingdom vision for whatever big or small context that you're thinking of today, seeing it come to pass will require patience. It's not going to happen according to your timeline. But if that vision of transformation indeed is God-given, it's going to be worth the wait. Lastly, it continues with perseverance. Actually, next week, Jan Achterberg will preach about how we're empowered to endure as well. So he'll say a little bit more about this. But I'm just going to share maybe one of the texts that you had in mind for next week. It's Romans 5. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you have been praying for something for a really long time, if you've been working on something, That's a kingdom vision for transformation for a really long time. And if you had to sacrifice a lot, and if you had to be patient, wait for God's timeline, if it required you to persevere, I think just my simple message for you today is don't give up. Don't let go. Don't lose hope. God's promises still stand. He did not give you a vision for nothing. He didn't give you a prayer for nothing. Hold on. Keep on going. Keep on hoping. Keep on praying. Let's close this in prayer. Lord, thank you for your invitation to us to be partners in your kingdom. And I pray that you will expand our vision for your kingdom. That you will expand our understanding of the gospel you've called us to preach and to live. And I pray that you'll give us a more specific vision for your kingdom in the world that we're living in, our families, our groups of friends, our neighborhoods, our communities, the people that we connect to in our daily lives. I pray over our church community, you'll give us a vision for the city. I pray you'll give us a heart for this world. Help us to be radical Jesus followers, unashamed of the gospel, fully committed to our King, ready to go, with faith that we will see your kingdom come in our lifetime, in our world. And I just pray for anyone here that has been praying for something, for your transformation to come on someone that they dearly love, or their families, or a dear friend, or whoever. I pray for the courage and the faith to keep on going, to keep on praying, to keep on hoping, and to keep on sharing. Send us out as ambassadors of your kingdom with a vision for transformation. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to